This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and how do you guys like that new introduction? Don't you love it? It sort of makes you feel energetic, does it not? It's like it brings you to the place of just feeling alive and, you know, dun-dun-dun, you know, and so I love our new introduction we have for Thoughts Becoming Things. And you know, and also I want to thank all of you guys and gals for joining us in this broadcast. I hope all you guys are learning something as well. You know, when I started ministry, gosh, 30 years ago, can you believe it? I'm getting old here. When I started the ministry about 28, 29 years ago, you know, I start off on a different level. I start off on a different plane, a different wavelength of things in my life that, you know, I was focusing on, I was so adamant about, and there was such a hunger and a push for those things. And you know, season after season, if you think about it, God will tend to put stuff in our mind and our spirit that just sort of burns in us for that season. And then sometimes it might carry over to another season and another season. And then sometimes it might go away from season to season. But either way, whatever is true to you in that season, whatever burns in you, talk about it. You know, whatever is real to you, talk about that stuff. Because one of the things I've realized in my life is the way that God functions and flows with us is, you know, He says, "Behold, I do a new thing." And then another verse says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so there's times He makes the old new again to you and sort of resurrects it. And there's other times you go on and leave the past behind and He doesn't resurrect anything and He moves on to something new in your life. And I think we have to come to that place to know, what season am I in? Is it to repeat something in a fresh new way, to see it from a different angle? Or is it a season to chunk the old stuff and move into something new that I've never done before or discussed before? And you know, the truth is, I find myself today talking about things, the way I talk, the way I, move in my conversation, the subjects I talk about, they're nothing like I was 15 years ago. I mean, like nothing like I was 20 years ago. I've seen myself go through phases in life. And you know, people say, you know, change is good. Folks, change is amazing. Change is awesome. We should always stick to change. Because change is something that is going to happen whether you like it or not. I mean, let's face it, folks, you're going to get older. No matter how much you don't want it, your hair color is going to change, your hair is going to fall out, you're going to gain weight, you're going to lose weight, you're going to start sagging here and there, you're going to get, wrinkles or something. And that's not to be negative or woe is me, but life changes. And as life changes, our minds evolve into the new. Our minds evolve into seeing from a different new angle, adhering to a new pattern, you know, moving into something that just sort of keeps us sort of at a new place of learning all the time. And so through that, we have to begin to do it. And so for a couple of minutes, I want to talk to all of you guys and gals today about what is wrong versus what is right. And I say that because I hear so many people in life coaching. I hear so many people I talk to on a day-to-day basis that focus so much on what is wrong with their life. And some people say, well, you know, I don't want to be that person, Jeremy, who buries their head in the sand, overlooks everything negative, overlooks all the wrongs in my life, and just focuses on the positive as if I'm living in that Magic Kingdom, you know, here at Disney, you know. But the truth is, folks, we're called to call those things that be not as though it already existed. And if we're those people that we claim we are from seeing it from a biblical point of view, then why don't we practice it? Why don't we talk about the good news? Well, if the good news is the gospel, then what if we talked about good news? What is good news, you know? And so I think a lot of people focus so much and magnify, and they sort of sit on this egg, waiting on it to happen or hatch, of something that is negative, and they dissect it to so much, it's not even funny. They overanalyze things on, oh my goodness, how will this turn out? How will that turn out? Here's the truth of the matter, folks. Let things pan out if you have to. And as things work out for the good, I mean, think about it. If the scripture says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, then let's let things work together. And it works together by us moving in a flow and moving in an energetic and synergetic flow of just what comes in our lives at that moment, what pops up, what begins to flow that is a good report, things that are praiseworthy, things that look like I want to just yell and scream and cheer because I'm so happy because this has popped up in my life and this has happened in my life. Then why don't you go ahead and cheer? Why don't you go ahead and let it out? Because when things that are negative and things that look like they're just sort of not the best in the world in your life, don't always feel like you have to fix everything. Folks, some things are just not fixable. Some things don't need to be fixed. Some things need to work out themselves. I mean, you can't get into every marriage and say, hey, I'm a marriage counselor. I can fix any marriage out there. The truth is you can't. You can't fix every single marriage out there. The truth is no matter how many people you pray for, you lay hands on, and you do your charismatic jig, as I call it, you know, or hoopla, whatever you want to call it, you know, not everybody's going to be healed. Unfortunately, not everyone's going to be healed. And so you have to learn to look and say, all I'm called to do is do what I know to do by faith. All I know to do is do what I know to do by what I'm required to do in the kingdom, and everything else is just left up to just panning itself out. Because God is going to work it out anyway. I mean, God is going to take all things and it's going to begin to work. And that's the key thing, is all things will begin to work. So there's an action in your things. All things will work out. There's a working out of your things. And sometimes your things do not require your handiwork to be able to work it out. There's certain things that do and certain things that don't need to be worked out. And the things that you know, you should understand by the brain that God's given you and the mind Christ, whatever we can call it inside of you, that we have to remember that some things require your attention and other things do not. And through that, we have to begin to understand, why not focus on things that are right in our lives instead of things that are always wrong in our lives? If you are in a situation that you just maybe can't control, you can't handle, there's just nothing more you can do, let it go, folks. Let it go. Is there not too much good things in the world to focus on? I mean, you know, we can turn on TV and find a comedy within seconds. We can turn on TV and find sci-fi movies, which I love, in seconds. We can find funny things on reality shows, which I'm not a big reality show fan, but you can find crazy funny things on reality shows in seconds. You can open up you can turn on your podcast and find hundreds of teachings, motivational speakers, pastors, churches. You can find so many things that will put you in a good feeling, that'll make you positive, that'll make you feel like, wow, I just felt the Holy Spirit. And yet, guess what? Why don't you think about those things while the other things will begin to work itself out? Because all things are going to work out. And so allow things to be an action process without you feeling like you have to turn it. Some things are going to automatically turn itself. And that's why I use the word panning out. You know, there's an old saying about people who used to argue all the time about the eschatology of the last day, of pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. And man, you'd get people that would argue. And I want somebody to say, folks, seriously, grow up. Who cares? Who cares what you think is going to happen? Bottom line is, it's going to happen. When it happens, all you need to do is just be ready, in season and out of season. Do what you know to do today that you know God's called you to. Do it well and move on. However it looks in the last days, the latter days, whatever, who cares? I mean, folks, there are more important things to worry about and be concerned about. Not that I'm trying to be negative when I say worry or concern, but things to think about than it is about something that we're not even sure that could happen, would happen, how it's going to happen. Those things of the future, Jesus was right on the money when he said, you know, let tomorrow take care of itself. Who cares? You know, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Let him take care of the worries and cares. And so the things you're dealing with right now, here's what I tell people. On a very foundational way, I'll tell you this. And that is, some things in life, yes, are going to work out. Some things you just have to starve. Some things don't require your attention, and some things need to starve itself. And the truth of the matter is, everything in the creation, everything in creation, period, on terra firma, on this planet Earth, everything requires feeding. Plants require water. Humans require food and drink. Trees require water. Everything requires something in order for it to grow, to evolve, to expand in creation. It's just the laws of nature that God set into motion. And because of that, and through that, that means it's going to begin to turn into something else. But yet, if you take your attention and your focus off of the negative, off of the situation that you are going crazy about because you can't control it, hello, then what if it just began to work out for itself? Think about that, folks. Because most things need to be starved. Now, hear me when I say this. We're not talking about human beings. We're not talking about animals or trees. I'm talking about certain situations that are doing you no good, and all they're doing is draining you of your essence, draining of your energy, and you turn around, you're saying, and you keep on feeding it your attention, and you're like, what on earth do I need to do now? I have nothing more to give. Let that be a sign to you. If you feel like you have nothing more to give the situation, then you have nothing more to give. Find yourself at a place where God truly, the one you serve and you call God, who supposedly is moving in your life, controlling your life, and you've given your life to, then why don't you heed to your own belief? And that is, let Him take care of it. And then some things, once again, stop feeding your attention to. Stop feeding your energy to. Where your attention goes, energy flows. And some situations do not require your attention. And therefore, you need to quit feeding it energy. And therefore, some things you just need to say, you know what? It is what it is. It's negative, and I'm done with it. So I get my joy back, and I focus on all the amazing, powerful hundreds and hundreds of things in my life that are going good for me. Because and if you say to yourself, well, nothing really good is going for me right now, Jeremy, I would definitely say, you know what? I didn't think you were that ignorant because of the fact, and every one of you knows, because of the fact we have breath in our lungs to be thankful for. We have clothes on our back. You have arms. You have legs. Some of you can walk. Some of you can talk. Some of you can see. Some of you can hear. And some of you have all the abilities to do all of it. And so there's plenty of reasons to be thankful in our lives. There's great news happening around us all the time. If the sun's shining today, it's great news. If it's raining hard today, it's great news because it's watering everything outside of you that you tend to not pay attention to. Hello. And God takes care of His creation by watering it. And at times when we get outside and we say, man, I do not want it to rain today. I could just cuss up a storm. I don't want it to rain on me today. And yet the whole time God's saying, you know what? Step out of yourself. Get out of your ego. Quit edging God out. Get out of your ego and realize I am taking care of my creation. Yeah, you know the grass that you don't water? You know the bushes and the leaves and the flowers all around you that you don't pay attention to? Well, all those things are my responsibility, and I like to water what I love. And that's a key thing with God. God loves it all, and He takes care of it all. And you have to understand that when we get into our cycle and our pattern of life, and we focus so much on what is drama to us of negativity, then you know what? Before long, that becomes a part of your personality because you've impregnated yourself with it. And then before long, you wake up and you realize, oh my goodness, you know what? I have become the very thing I didn't want to become because I sound negative. Now I'm focusing on this situation. And every person you come across, hello, everybody you come across, guess what? They all have heard it before, and they will hear it again of what your situation is dealing with, what you're involved in, and and some people will be like, oh, avoid them at all costs because they will tell you all the things you're dealing with that you've heard 1,001 times before. And it doesn't mean that people are not there to love you. It doesn't mean people aren't there to hear you and to hear your cry of things that need to be fixed or maybe if you need their wisdom. But here's the situation. Are you even heeding to their wisdom they give you? Are you even heeding to anything they're telling you that truly, not just hearing? Hearing doesn't do anything, folks. Hearing and then putting action behind what you've heard and then saying, thank you for that wisdom. I'm going to apply that today. If someone's just talking your ears off about negativity, and you know what? They're just telling you how bad their situation is. If they don't listen to you, don't waste your time hearing it. I mean, folks, I'm not being bad, but the truth is, if people are telling you how bad something is, it obviously is not bad enough, because if they're not utilizing wisdom from you or from their pastor or anyone else around them, if they're not utilizing the power of wisdom around them, then you know what they're telling you? They're telling you, I actually love to be negative, and I love to tell you my problems because life is bad, and I want it to stay bad, and I want you to be bad with me, and I want you to complain about your problems. problems, because that way I can turn around and say, but it's not as bad as my problems. Have you ever encountered people who you can say, I'm not feeling good today, and sure enough, and it's half the people are around me that will say, oh, you know what, me either, I'm not feeling good either, or I have a headache today, oh, I have a major headache this morning, and you want somebody to say, hey, and it's not about you at the moment, it's about me. You know what I mean? I'm telling you about my headache for a moment. And people tend to do that because everybody quickly can pop up in their mind and their spirit something negative or bad, or how worse it is than what you said, or how they've had the same problem you've been through. The truth is, folks, as human beings, especially that as Christians, we need to stop being that person. We need to be people to say, oh man, I'm really sorry you're struggling today. I'm really sorry you have a headache. Well, can I give you some advice on that? Can I tell you, can I offer you some Tylenol? Can I offer you some prayer? Can I tell you, man, I'm so sorry. You know, it sounds like to me your friendship with so-and-so is not working good. Well, here's some advice I learned in my experience. May I give it to you to help you out? Sure, I'd love to hear it, because that way I can implement it and I can give it freely into my situation to empower it and change it around, so I'll become a better person and a better friend to that person. And sometimes people, folks, a true friend's going to tell you stuff you don't really want to hear, but it's going to work out for your good. About, you know, the problem is actually not with them, but I want to tell you because I love you. The problem is actually with you right now. So please hear me as I love you, and I tell you something that I've seen as a track record in your life of why you can't keep friends, or why this is not working for you, or that's not working for you. It's people like that we love. Is it not true? And therefore, we have to begin to understand we can either wallow in our garbage and wallow in the negativity and wallow in the situations, or we can find a way of escape to either A, ignoring it when it does not need our attention, walking away from it, starving it to death to where it'll eventually die because I'm not feeding it energy and attention, and moving into all the amazing, glorious things that we're happy for. Or we can either adapt to true wisdom, because I'm telling you out of truthfulness, I want to change, and I need your wisdom, and not only just need your wisdom, but I will apply your wisdom to where I can get rid and eradicate the situation in my life of negativity, and I can move on to the glorious things that God has for me in my life. Are you with me? There is different ways, folks, how to approach different situations. But yet all of us have to begin to look at our lives and understand that, you know what? There's too many good things to focus on right now in my life. I don't want to focus on anything else except God's very best for my life. Is that burying my head in the sand? Not really. What it's doing is it's learning to train myself and teach myself. Mind, you always go there. You always go to the negative. You always go to the how it's worse, or it's better than everybody else, or it's worse than everybody else. Your mind always goes to the bad places it doesn't need to go. And so what if I starve the situation? Then I can learn to discipline myself enough to starve other things I can't control and really cannot really work on, because it's just out of my control. And I can begin to train myself to just let bad negative thoughts and bad negative things happen to me just go one ear, not the other, so I can stay consistent in my joy and stay consistent in being a blessing to you and stay consistent in attracting things into my life that are amazingly wonderful and positive. And the things that are negative coming into my life, I'll be strong enough to take it on to help other people and to empower other people. And so when the Bible says, let the strong bear forth the weak, guess what? You got to be strong, folks, to bear forth people. And if you're not strong, we're not talking about being superficial. We're not talking about being fake. We're talking about having a strong attitude, a strong spirit that just says, you know what? I refuse to get into the valley of gossip. I refuse to get in the valley of woe is me, poor me, it's always worse, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to go there anymore. And so I've trained myself enough to stay on top of the game. There's a great scripture you guys can take to heart. It says, he who's on the housetop, let him not come down. Now, the verse talks about different things, but when I say, he who's on the housetop, let him not come down, let that be a great revelation to you to say, if I'm up here in the heavens, if I'm up here on positive thinking, if I'm up here dealing with my situations, nipping them in the bud so I can get rid of them and moving on to other things that are good, and taking care of things that will empower the people, and focusing on being a leader, and focusing on being a blessing to people, then if I take care of things quickly, and if I'm back on top of the housetop, I will convince my mind to begin to fire the neurons of positive thinking. I'll convince my mind that I'm living out this reality of being the head and not the tail, above situations and not beneath them. And through that, guess what? You'll make yourself tougher and stronger to be able to see the negative in people and say, oop, hold on a minute, I gotta to help you. I've been there, done that. Let me help you how to get out of it. And that's what we want to do, folks. So once you've had a taste of the top of being on top of the game, once you've had a taste of he who's on the housetop, let him not come down, you will never want to go back down and descend again in the valley of the shadow of death. And if you're ever there, then you know what? Your positive thinking and the right attitude through Christ can begin to say, here's a rod and a staff, now take it and run through that thing. Take off through that valley to where you can get out of it quicker. Take the wisdom that you've been given by someone, your pastor, your friend, your motivational speaker, something you heard on TV, take it and run with it to where you can get out of this thing quicker. That way your mind doesn't get conducive or get molded to a negative way of thinking as being part of your lifestyle. See, people love negativity, and sometimes people tend to be very negative, and if they're so negative, they'll convince themselves it's actually part of the personality and it's part of who they are, and therefore if you try to get them positive, they'll say, oh, you know what, this is not how I need to feel because I'm so used to living on this other vein, and they'll think it's who they really are. Truth is, folks, people convince themselves every day that if I'm not negative, I'm not really happy. If I'm not miserable, I'm not really happy. Not that those two things can actually go together, but some people convince themselves it can. And so you have to think, what is my personality? Who am I? And what is my character supposed to resemble? And what kind of person am I? If people don't like me, when I life coach people and they say, none of my family loves me because I'm on fire for Jesus. Well, you know what? Do they not like you because of your smart aleck attitude or your better than them mentality? Trust me, I have people in my life that know what I do. They know who I am in the kingdom of God, and they still love me. And I don't have to water down anything. I just don't have to be a snob to them. I don't have to throw things in their face as saying, the Lord says to me, you better straighten up and fly right. Because that's not the God I serve. The God I serve is someone who is compassionate and long-suffering with people and giving them grace, and my grace is sufficient for you, and walking the extra mile with them. That's a God I serve. And so, yes, people can still love you even though you are on fire and tough as nails for the kingdom of God. And if a group of people don't love you, I'm sorry, folks, then you need to check your own reality. You need to check your own personality. You need to check your own characteristics and your own character, because there's something there letting you know what's wrong is not with them. What's wrong might be with you. And that's a key thing, because you live in a realm of so much negativity and so much I'm always right-ism mentality and so much ego that it's going to push people away. So reevaluate yourself today. Think to yourself, reevaluate and say, am I typically a negative person all the time? Or am I a positive person? Do people want to be around me all the time? Or do people run from me or say, gotta go now on the phone? Or does my family all against me because I'm being forsaken by the gospel, you know, because of the gospel? Or I'm being persecuted by the gospel's sake? You know, folks, let me tell you something. What really is reality? We have to face reality to look at our own selves in the mirror and say, God, am I pleased with what I see? And personally, other people, please, they want to be around me. And when you begin to take a deep, hard look at yourself, let the Holy Spirit show you so many flaws that need to be dealt with. And when you are, you'll find out, you know what? I need to change my life. If I change my mind, I change my life. If I change my attitude, people will like me better. And I'll be able to be a blessing. I'll be positive more because people will begin to know that they're always empowered by being around me. So thank you again today for showing up and showing off in this broadcast, everyone. And once again, I so honor each and every one of you for tuning into our broadcast. And by the way, let me tell you guys something real quick. I released recently a really major killer series, and I know it'll bless every one of you. It's actually called Walking Through the Door to Transformation. Walking Through the Door to Transformation. You can find it on our website, identitynetwork.net. You can call our office and order it as well. But this is a digital download series only, and I'll teach you how to basically upgrade yourself, learn to go to a higher level in the kingdom, to enter into change in a healthy way, to adapt to change, to remove old paradigms in your life into a realm of creativity and a realm of creative change. Folks, I live this out every day. I'm not kidding you. This is my life. And so what I have to give to you, what I have that God's blessed me with, I want to give it to you. Such as I have, I give to you. The package, the series right now retails for about $150. It's on sale for just $49.99. $49.99 digital download, and you get all these teachings in it, and also you get two ebooks with it. So you get a lot of teachings, and you get two ebooks with it. You cannot beat that. You can download it right then and there. So go to the website, identitynetwork.net. It's called Walking Through the Door to Transformation, or call the office to order it, and the office number is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. And when you call, just say, I want to order the digital download of Walking Through the Door to Transformation. Trust me, if you're going through a situation where things are transforming and transitioning like it always does, you need this teaching series to help you to know how to get through it and move into a higher place in God. So do that today. All right, thank you so much, guys and gals. I'll talk to you soon. Don't forget, what you think manifests in your life.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.